Exactly what we need at this time, friends. Fresh emphasis on the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm here this evening, not of my own making or choosing, of course, but I have been bathed in the presence of God in these last few hours. Brother Trask has felt this for years, I know that, talked about it. And it was certainly a divine plan of the Holy Spirit. And I believe we're going to be hearing some wonderful things coming out of this meeting, and we're going to have some what I call spiritual serendipities. I was walking in yesterday. Brother stopped me, pastor, church that had obviously was going through difficulties, or could not give much financial assistance, said to me, he came in early for the sacred assembly, walked in here, and he had told his wife, I'm down to my last suit. I'm going to have to wear this suit the whole time. It's the last suit I've got. A layman saw this brother, and the Spirit of God came on the layman. And he walked over and said, my brother, God has just told me that you need a suit. And he was walking in this morning just as happy as he could be. He was wearing one of those brand new suits. The man brought him three suits and three new shirts. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's one of those, I don't call that a minor miracle. Boy, when you're down to your last suit and a guy comes along and buys you three, that's major miracles. Hallelujah. And God is doing some tremendous things in our hearts and in our lives. And I'm not going to worry about the clock this evening. I know that's a discouraging word to some. But it doesn't matter because you're not going to eat and you're not doing much sleeping anyway. And it all ends up in a few hours. And so we might as well sit around God's word and just share what God wants to say to us. It's an awesome thing. It's an awesome thing to have a message dropped into your heart. It is an awesome thing. So I come to you not in the ability of a human being. I come to you as one, you know, all of us, most of us are ordained to preach the gospel. My theme tonight is the bare bones of revival. My text is Ezekiel chapter 37. This is one powerful portion of Scripture. And I want you to read it as if Ezekiel was talking to us tonight. And he is, by the Spirit of God. The hand of the Lord was upon me. Hallelujah. I said the hand of the Lord was upon me. Carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones. Caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up above him, them and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came unto them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost, and we are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. When I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land, then shall you know that I am the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Father, may the bones live. Hallelujah. May the four winds blow tonight from one side of this auditorium to the other. Oh, breath of God, breathe upon our souls tonight and send a Holy Ghost revival to the assemblies of God that will raise up a mighty army that will take back America and march across lands and sea to touch the lost and the dying of humanity. Oh, God, touch the church, we pray. And I pray tonight that there will come a word from the Lord, not because of this preacher, but because of the Holy Ghost. I pray this in the name of the Lord. We don't need any more sermons. We need a word from the Lord. I pray, oh God, that you will breathe a word into our hearts, and the Shekinah glory shall rest over the mercy seat again, and the people of God shall rise up with anointing and authority and power, and take the devil's stronghold and tear them to pieces and rend them for the glory of thy name. Raise up this church in a new authority and a new power and a new endowment of the Holy Ghost. Make this another upper room, I pray, that shall exceed anything that we have ever seen. That the whole nation will say, the Lord lives, the Lord lives, and he reigns. Hallelujah. I praise you, Lord, because you're in this place. Breathe upon this congregation. Come, O four breaths of God, and breathe upon our souls in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. It all starts with the hand of God upon a man. He chooses not to do it any other way. The Bible says that the hand of the Lord was upon me. And I am praying that this night that we shall again sense the hand of the Lord upon us. And this man was effective as a prophet of God for two reasons. He knew the hand of the Lord because he had seen the face of God. He had a revelation of the living God. Above all things, dear friends, tonight, I pray that we shall have a first-hand personal confrontation with the living God of heaven and in earth. It is not enough to read it from a book nor hear it from the lips of another. But we must march to the pulpits again with a revelation of the living God with fresh within our spirit, that we can stand over the valley of dry bones and cry, I have seen the Lord high and lifted up, and his train will fill the temple, and the glory of the Lord shall fill the earth, and the Shekinah shall spill over the mercy seat until every soul is touched by the glory of the living God. Oh, that we would come and see the Lord. I have heard him with the hearing of the ear, but now mine eyes have seen the King in his glory. And I pray, O God, that we shall see the Lord, that his hand may be placed upon us at any moment. He had a revelation of the living God. He knew God lived. And the second thing I want you to notice about this man is that he was quick and obedient. He was good at obeying God. He did some of the weirdest things. I tell you, friend, this man would have been looked upon as erratic, as a case for the presbytery. He would have been looked upon with scorn by fellow Assemblies of God ministers. I mean that. You think if you heard that a neighboring pastor was laying on his side, he was laying on one side for 390 days. And then you heard that he took his last haircut, weighed his hair in the balance, took a third of it and burned it. Took a third of it and took a knife and struck it repeatedly. And the last third, he just flew into the air. I tell you, friends, this man was stripped of all reputation. He was on the edge of ministerial decency. But I am here to tell you something, friends. We have got to have a fresh humility before God, that one more time that he will begin to be able to speak to his Assemblies of God ministers and say, I want you to do something under the anointing and power of the Holy Spirit, and people will not understand, but ultimately I shall be glorified. It is not me that lives, but it's Christ that liveth within me, the hope of glory. And it's time for Pentecostal preachers to become a peculiar people again, that do things under the anointing of the Holy Ghost that would just startle people. Hallelujah. This man was used of God because he knew God and he obeyed God. And the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me, took me in the spirit to a valley of dry bones. In other words, the Spirit of God did a church growth study and demographic study. Took him to a large valley full of bones, big population. Perfect for church planting, but very gospel resistant. Oh my goodness. Gospel resistant to the 15th power multiplied by 1,000. They were not only gospel resistant, burnt over, done with, split, but they were calcified. And And he took me out to the valley of dry bones. And he said, look at that crowd. Can these bones become a mighty Assemblies of God church? And he did the smartest thing that I have ever heard. He put it right back in God's court. And he said, oh God, thou knowest. Hallelujah. Thou knowest. I know a sovereign God that looks beyond dead bones and dry bones and calcified bones and lazy bones. I want you to know I serve a God that knows something we don't know. Hallelujah. And he's able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Hallelujah. Lord God, thou knowest. And I love that statement. It is because, friend, he saw the church growth movement and the demographic study from God's point of view. And you hear me tonight, too many of our studies are done in the weakness of the flesh and the pride of mind. And it is time for us to do our studies in deep humility before God. And if any of your demographic studies show that you can do it, run as fast as you can. The only demographic study that will prove to you that there is hope is when you see that there is no hope in self or an organization, but there has to come a mighty touch of God upon your life, and without him you can do nothing. Nothing can be done. If your study shows that this is a good neighborhood to plant a church, I tell you what, you had better get on your face and cry out to God and say, God, give me a place where you will have to do it, or it'll never be done. If our studies show us that we can do stuff in the flesh, I think we'd better run from it. But I believe it's time to enter the sacred throne room and throw ourselves at the feet of the Master and say, oh God, take me to that place. Take me to that boneyard. And only you will know. But I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm going to obey you. And I'm going to do it because I can't do anything without you. And I am telling you, friends, our wisdom and our might is destroying us. In the providence of God, when I went in for work today, there was in my basket a letter that broke my heart. And I knew, in the providence of God, that this came on this day. I took the names out and the places out. Dear Brother Crabtree, I live in a small town. We used to live in a larger city. We have moved within the last 1.5 years. When we lived in the previous city, we went to an Assemblies of God church. From the time we went there till the time we moved, we had 4 pastors. I would really do some thinking and praying about becoming a member. There were 2 splits in the church. I kept going, but things never seemed right. My kids also went through a lot. They also had 4 youth pastors. I never did put my membership in the church. Don't get me wrong, I loved all the pastors, but it was so upsetting to go through this. When we then moved to our present town, my mother-in-law was and is a member of the Assemblies of God Church here. And I went with her after our move. We live right next to my in-laws. I was going and thought I had found a stable church. Then there was another split in this church. And now the pastor is leaving. This all took place in less than a year from the time I started going. I am having a very hard time committing to a church. I have gone to other churches, but I do not like and believe, I do not like them. I really believe in the assemblies. My son is 18 and there has been nothing for the youth there, and this hurts. And there was a good youth group in the other city, but there's nothing here. But my reason for writing, this is what God laid on my heart. I thought, if all of this has hurt me and my family, how it has hurt others. The church isn't growing, and above all of this, how has all this hurt the unsaved? There is more work in getting a new pastor or getting the old one out than there is in getting people right with God. I have always been glad to walk, go to church, and be there to serve God and not people. I know that God's word says, get your eyes on God and not on earthly things, but I just don't understand that we are to serve God, and how there can be so many splits and pastors leaving. It's so hard on people. I know that we love the Lord, and I was wondering why I have gone through so many pastors and split, and God says to write you and tell you how I feel. I am not complaining. I just hope this helps so there won't be so many problems. We need to seek God and his guidance in all things. There's a lot I don't understand about all this. And see these splits and reasons for pastors leaving. Maybe I'm not to know, but my concern is not for people like me or the... My concern is not for me, but for people like me or the unsaved coming into the church. What must they wonder? Please write me back. Please write me. I am not sure where God is leading me from here. A sister in Jesus Christ. And what am I going to tell her? What do I write back? I want you to know, friends, some of the reasons why they're slain is because of leadership, the problems with boards, because the Bible says that these were slain. They were of the house of Israel, and they were slain, and they were divided, and they were split, and they died, and they dried up. And I'm going to write her and plead with her and say, please don't die. Please don't die. Just because you've gone through these troubles, keep on holding on to God. Keep believing. Keep praying that somehow God will come. God will come. And I look across the horizon of the assemblies of God, and I say, God, can these bones live? And from heaven I hear that voice. Can these bones live? And then I cry aloud, oh God, thou knowest. And suddenly there comes an inspiration. Hallelujah. Son of man, stand and prophesy over the dead bones. Speak the word of the Lord over the dead bones. Begin to preach over the dead bones. Hallelujah. And begin to prophesy. Hallelujah. Hear the word of the Lord tonight.
dead bones will hear the word of the Lord. And they shall come out of the graves, and they shall hear the voice of the living God. I tell you, friend, tonight, it is time for us to go back into the pulpit with a prophetic ministry and begin to prophesy. Thus saith the Lord. It's time to get out of the other books and out of all the magazines and all of the theories, and it's time to get back to thus saith the Lord. I've been in his presence. I've heard a word from God, and these bones are going to live. Hallelujah. The word of the Lord has spoken. Glory to God. Prophesy. And we have let scripture twisters take this glorious gift and mess it up for us. I believe it is time for us to take it back. He says in 1 Corinthians 14, I want you to covet. I want you to covet earnestly the best gifts. And he said, I would have you speak in tongues. I would have you interpret. But I would rather have you prophesy. Hear me, Pentecostal church, hear me. I am not saying that we are to go into the personal prophecy racket and destroy lives. But I am here to tell you that we have bankrupted ourselves spiritually by being afraid to take what is rightfully ours at these altars and to begin to sob and cry around these altars. Oh God, give me an apostolic prophetic ministry in the sense that will shake this city and move this church, and I can prophesy to these bones, you're going to live. Assemblies of God Church, you're going to live. You may be dead now, but you're coming to life in the name of the Holy God. You're coming to life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise be to God forever. You're coming to life. I prophesy it in the name of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've been in some of your churches and seen your bones. And the only difference is that in some there aren't too many bones. But I think it's time for us to decide right now whether God's called us or not. Whether we have the word of the Lord or not. We've got to decide whether we're going to go by might or power, or whether we're going to walk into the pulpit with the Holy Ghost resting upon us. And I think it's time that the Spirit of God birth in this great prayer conference tonight, that we shall not see our church as a little broken down, discouraged little bunch of people that are scattered in their vision and are split in their spirit and are dried up and dead, and you can't even get a rise out of them. And some of these early services are an exercise in raising the dead. I've been there, friend, and you can't do it by yourself, but I don't think we ought to accept it the way it is anymore. I believe that it is time for the word of the Lord to come forth by the authority of Almighty God from men and women who have seen the King in his glory and will say he will build his church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church is going to live. The church is going to live. I prophesy it in the name of God. The church shall live. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The assemblies of God are not going to go down in defeat. They're going to rise up in victory and in power. There's just enough young men in this bunch. I know it. I go across this country. I've got a bunch of righteous radicals out there that are afraid of sin, and they love God full of the Holy Ghost. And I want you to know they're beginning to prophesy, and they're going to begin to say this generation is going to experience a mighty Holy Ghost revival, and we're going to live. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! And I want to encourage every young preacher in this place, don't you let any old grouch or any old prophet that's lost his anointing to discourage you. I'd rather have the fire of God burning a little bit brighter than to have anything else in all the world. Rise up, a church of God. Hallelujah. And I don't tell this for any vainglory, but I can remember as if it were yesterday. Young man, didn't have any sense. Just loved God, loved to preach. Hit a little church, musical crab trees at that time. Half of us are still musical. God was moving in that little town. Spirit of God was breaking loose, and on a Thursday night, church was filled before service. We walked out, and man midway back on the center aisle fell into the center aisle. They rushed to him immediately, and there was a registered nurse in the audience. I heard her mouth to the pastor, "He's dead." And I tell you, the righteous indignation of God came on me. And I said, "This is nothing but the devil trying to put a paw over this meeting. And it's not glorifying to God." And suddenly, this 5 foot seven and a half preacher became 18 and three quarters feet tall. And I walked back to that corpse and I said, "Now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you live and live now." And he began to flutter a little bit, and his eyes came open, and he began to speak with other tongues, and he stood to his feet. I want you to know tonight, there's a God who is the God who can come into your church, and he can touch the physical and the spiritual death. Hallelujah. And it's time for us to prophesy and say, "The church shall live." Hallelujah. Don't you let the devil tell you what your church is. You let God tell you what it is. Don't you go by the will of man, but you go by the will of God. Don't you get your eyes on the amount of difficulty around you, nor the circumstances of ethnicity bridges, but instead you get your eyes on a glorious bridge from earth to heaven where the Holy Ghost can walk on golden streets and touch your people by his power and raise them to life. Prophetic word. It is time for pastors to pray for the gift of prophecy. Not just eschatology, forth-telling the word of the living God. And then I want you to notice that he was asked not only to prophesy, but he was asked to call but the sovereign wind. And I want you to see this. He said, it's not enough to just arrange the bones again. I think sometimes we mistake revival for noise and rearranging dead bones and getting a few necks on heads and pieces of bones back together with the right structure. Hello? And there is such a stirring and a moving, and things get so well organized, and we say, "Isn't that neat? We've now got a body." But it's just a good-looking corpse. You've made a lot of noise up in the Holy Ghost. No, you've made a lot of noise prophesying, and there's been some response. I say, glory to God. Had wonderful services Sunday. But there's no life in the city. the corpse was left at the church. And there's no living body to walk the streets in healing power and in witnessing force. We've got to have more than a prophetic word. We have got to have a fresh outpouring of the Holy Ghost upon the prophetic word. And not only do we say you shall live, but the Holy Ghost is going to come, and it's not by might nor by power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And I pray again tonight, oh, four winds of the Holy Spirit, would you begin to now blow through the corpses. We're all organized. We've got bones and we've got sinews and we've got flesh, but oh, we've got too much flesh that's just lying around. It's ineffective. It's powerless. Now come, oh, four winds of the Holy Ghost. Come, oh, wind of holiness, and blow upon this corpse and blow out every deadening sin that has infected this corpus, and may life begin to flow. Hallelujah. And may the disease flow out of the body as the holy wind of God begins to blow and blow out sin. Come, O wind of power. Come in resurrecting force. Come, O wind of faith, and lift this congregation beyond what they are to what they shall be. May we not live in unbelief nor sing the dirges of the past tradition, but may we stand and sing the old songs with new life, and may we sing the new choruses with a sense of exaltation. Come, O Holy Ghost, I pray, into our services, and may there come faith that will sweep our congregation. Come, O wind of joy, lift the congregation from the shackles of the devil, and may they know that they are the people of happiness and joy, that God is with them, and because he lives, we can face tomorrow, and because we live, we can dance for joy. Hallelujah, because our God reigns. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come, O wind of joy, and blow, blow into our services. But there's one thing left. There had to come usefulness. There had to come a mighty army. We must get ready for spiritual warfare again. We're not going to build big churches anymore by our nice reputation. In a way, thank God that's dead. I don't know. I loved it. It was so nice to be able to explain the Assemblies of God, because there were so many secular points of reference. Now they don't know us, but if they know us, they know us for the wrong reason. So that's dead. They don't come for oratory anymore. They're not interested in preachers anymore. That's dead. Buildings, that's really dead. Everything that drew people to our churches were really for the wrong reason. But God used it in spite of it and glorified his name. But now he has cut off all of the easy tricks. It's not easy anymore, it's impossible. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You can't build a church anymore in this culture without the supernatural power of the living God. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Doesn't that take a whole lot of responsibility out of you? Glory to God, you don't have to sweat and you don't have to worry anymore. It's impossible. You can't do it. Glory to God, you can't do it. I'm here to announce you can't do it. You can't do it. There's no flesh on earth that can raise up the church. There is no power on earth that can bring men and women back to life. But I want you to know that in this room tonight, the Shekinah presence of the living God walks these aisles and he's telling us, but I will do it. Hallelujah. If you'll get aside, I will do it. I will let the church live, and you shall be a mighty army. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. I got a little more, but I think it's time to quit because I feel something moving. I feel like that First Chronicles 14 business. When you hear the sound of wind in the crab tree, in the mulberry bush. Hallelujah. He let him know that the God of heaven has gone before you and he has smitten the Philistines. Glory to God. And I'm here to announce that the wind is blowing in this holy convocation and God is smiting the Philistines and he's setting his people free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is alive. Hallelujah. He never shut up above a hashanda. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's stand and praise him. Glory to God. To our God we shall be valiant. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. He's going to let you live. The church is going to live. Hallelujah. The church is going to live. Praise his name. Silamanda da ba ba hasanda da ba haya. Rita da ba ba hasanda da ba haya. It's not by might. It's not by power. But it's by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Tikata da ba ba hasunda. Breathe, O four winds of the Holy Ghost. Breathe, four winds of the Holy Ghost. Bring the joy of the Lord. Bring the faith of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You're going to live. The church is going to live. Your church is going to live. Hallelujah. I prophesy it in the name of the Lord. Your church is going to live. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Love on the outside. Your church is going to live. Hallelujah. Prophesy over these bones.